I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. I'm Abby Powell, and I'll be serving as worship associate today. Jessica Levitt Watara will bring our Love at the Center moment, our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for February is embodying resilience. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you here in this sanctuary and on YouTube. We welcome you wherever you are on your journey. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighting words are from Christine Robinson. We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. And our call to worship is from William F. Schultz. Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power and let its vision change your heart. Come, let us worship together.
Today, for my Love at the Center moment, I'm going to be sharing a couple of little excerpts from this book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Love is energy. It's not something that we can perceive with our physical senses, but people can usually tell you when they feel it and when they don't. Very few people feel enough love in their lives because the world has become a rather loveless place. We can hardly even imagine a world in which all of us were in love all the time with everyone. There would be no hunger because we would feed each other. There would be no environmental breakdown because we would love ourselves, our children, and our planet too much to destroy it. There would be no prejudice, opposition, or violence of any kind. There would be no sorrow. There would only be peace. Although we may not realize it, most of us are violent people, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. We have been brought up in a world that does not put love first. And where love is absent, fear sets in. Fear is to love as darkness is to light. It is a terrible absence of what we need in order to survive. When infants aren't held, they can become sick, even die. It's universally accepted that children need love, but at what age are people supposed to stop needing it? We never do. We need love in order to live happily as much as we need oxygen in order to live at all. We're like the spokes of a wheel, all radiating out from the same center. If you define us according to our position on the rim, we seem separate and distinct from one another. But if you define us according to our starting point, our source, the center of the wheel, we're a shared identity. If you dig deep enough into your mind and deep enough into mine, the picture is the same. At the bottom of it all, what we are is love. The love in one of us is the love in all of us. There's actually no place where God stops and you start, and no place where you stop and I start. Love is energy, an infinite continuum. Just as a sunbeam can't separate itself from the sun, and a wave can't separate itself from the ocean, we cannot separate ourselves from one another. We are all part of a vast sea of love, one indivisible divine mind.
Our reading today comes from Jonathan Fields. A lot of people think about grit and resilience as having the ability to push through tough times to get you where you want to go. But the truth is, it's more about having a strong sense of purpose to pull you towards your ultimate goal. When you view challenges or setbacks in light of that all-important goal, they start feeling much smaller, sometimes almost irrelevant, in light of your bigger commitments. We are pleased to welcome Michael Bell as our worship leader this morning. Michael is a human rights activist, creative entrepreneur, media producer, and nonprofit executive, and currently serves as director of the Savannah Pride Center. His leadership has been recognized with honors, including the Equality Award from Human Rights Campaign and the Sue Ann Big Crow Award from the National Education Association.
Good morning. Okay, I have something prepared, but if you'll indulge me, I'd like to introduce myself and tell you how I got here. I was born in Colombia, and I was adopted. My mother was Austrian and Jewish, my father Italian and Catholic. So for much of my life, growing up in New Jersey, I spoke like this for a very, very long time. So hello to my friends from Staten Island. How are you? It's good to see you. It's a little hot here, but it's okay. All right. I'm saying. We can talk about where to find a good bagel after this, by the way. It's very hard. So, my mother, Austrian and Jewish. My father, Italian Catholic. We grew up in New Jersey. What can I tell you? About 30 years ago, I was 14 years old, right? So my story begins. In high school, I was assaulted by about a dozen kids for being out, for being gay, screaming, yelling, "Are you the F word? Is this the F word?" And they pinned me up against a fence, and they poked, they prodded, they kicked. They dropped my body to the floor. They grabbed the garbage can, emptied it, dragged it over to my body, and the attempt was they're rolling down the stadium stairs. And that was 30 years ago, right? After that was month here and a month there, in and out of mental and behavioral hospitals for suicide, for depression. And in the early 90s, that's when they started over-medicating children. And so there was that layer as well. Over the years, a terrible amount of physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, at the hands of a principal who was arrested twice and finally convicted of it. Years. So at a certain point, through rehabilitation, through moving, through all the addiction, I gave a speech in front of the executive director of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, And that's what started me on this speaking and doing public speaking and nonprofit work. And they worked with me over the years to train me to start centers and start medical hubs for the queer and trans community. One of my things early on was working with the Clinton administration on hate crime legislation, federal hate crime legislation back then. Years of depression, suicide, addiction, on and on. And I say this just to say, you know, when we talk about resilience and peace, I only found peace. I'm 44, 39, I was eight, maybe 39. And how I found it, and I can only tell you from my own life, is for all my abusers, all my captors, every day, whether I judged it bad or good, which is a human distinction, I had to get to a point where I knew that every moment was meant for me, that every person, whether they abused me or not, was there as a master spiritual teacher. I have to think to myself that my greatest abusers somehow, some way, said to me before I came on earth, "You may not love me, you may hate me with every inch of your body, but if I am not this person for you, I am this person for you so that you can become this version of you." And that gave me freedom. That gave me peace. That helped me move through being a reaction to my circumstances. So in that spirit, thank you for welcoming me into this sacred space. There's something powerful about gathering in community, about choosing to sit together in a world that feels so fractured. In times like these, simply being present with one another is an act of courage. My name is Michael Bell. I'm the executive director of Savannah Pride Center. And for the past 20 years, I've spent walking alongside communities seeking justice, dignity, and belonging. But before any of this, simply someone who has witnessed what the human body can endure and what it can become when it is met with love instead of fear. Today's theme, this month's theme, is embodying resilience. Resilience is not hardness. It is not pretending we are unaffected. It is not smiling through harm. Resilience is what the body does when it refuses to disappear. It is breath returning after panic. It is standing again after being told to shrink. It is choosing connection when isolation would be so much easier. But resilience does not emerge in a vacuum. It emerges in response to reality. And harmony, true harmony, only happens when we are willing to face that reality honestly. Harmony happens when truth is allowed to surface, when grief is given breath, when love is embodied, not just imagined. Because peace does not arrive through avoidance. Peace arrives through presence. Here in Savannah, the city, our city of moss-draped oaks and ancestral memory. There's a beauty everywhere, but there's also an unfinished healing. Every week at Savannah Pride Center, we sit with LGBTQIA+ folks, souls who are tired, young people trying to discover who they are in environments that tell them to be smaller, transgender neighbors navigating healthcare systems that were never built with their bodies in mind. Elders carrying decades of survival in their bones. People driving hours just to be met with respect. We witness anxiety, depression, trauma, isolation. We witness rising HIV and STI rates as Georgia leads the entire country on new HIV cases. We witness intimate partner violence that lives in the shadows. We witness substance use that often begins as attempt to soothe pain. and we are living in a moment where LGBTQIA plus bodies have become symbolic battlegrounds, where identity is politicized, where humanity is debated, where fear is louder than compassion. Under this administration, attacks on transgender people, particularly our trans youth, have intensified. Access to affirming care is being restricted, protections are being eroded, and language is being weaponized. And when that happens, it does not just exist in the headlines. It lands in our bodies. It shows up as shallow breath, as chronic stress, as hypervigilance, as exhaustion. So let's take a moment here. Because when we speak hard truth out loud, the body listens. And before the mind forms an opinion, the nervous system is already registering something. So let's slow down together. If I may guide you, you may soften your gaze, and on the count of three, we'll take a breath in through our nose. One, two, three. In through your nose, and out through your mouth. Once again, with each breath, extending your energy field out in through your nose and out through your mouth. And continue to breathe this way as you feel your feet touching the earth, through the floor, through the foundation of this building, through the mud and through the soil. The land has generations before us. It knows survival, it knows grief, it knows renewal. Let your body be held by that steadiness. As you take a slow breath in and release it. Notice the rise and fall of your chest. Notice the quiet rhythm that has carried you through every joy and every heartbreak of your life. Your body has survived 100%. Of your hardest days. There's an ancient wisdom in that. If there's tightness anywhere, breathe space into it, your jaw, your shoulders, your belly. Not forcing it away, just allowing breath to reach it. So in this room right now, you are not alone. We are not alone. Feel the presence of the people beside you, the shared breath, the subtle hum of connection. Resilience is not something we manufacture. It's something that we remember. It lives in our bones and in our blood, in the quiet knowing that life keeps moving toward love. So as you exhale, I'll count to three again to take a breath in. But this time as you exhale, imagine extending that steadiness beyond these walls. Imagine extending to the queer youth who need reassurance, to the trans person seeking safety, to every person whose nervous system is tired of vigilance. One, two, three, in through your nose, and out through your soul. And gently return back to your body. You're welcome to open your eyes. Our bodies are not battlegrounds. They are temples. They are homes for dignity. They are vessels of divine expression. Resilience, then, becomes sacred. So I'll be clear to say, resilience should never be demanded of the oppressed. It should be supported by community. The opposite of fear is not bravery, it's belonging. And belonging changes the body. so that when someone walks into Savannah Pride Center and realizes that they do not have to explain themselves, their shoulders drop, their breath deepens, their voice steadies. That's resilience restored through relationship. Faith communities like this one have a sacred role to play in that restoration. Because spirituality without embodiment becomes abstraction. Spirituality without embodiment becomes abstraction. And justice without compassion becomes ideology. To embody resilience means we do not turn away from what is happening. It means we refuse neutrality when harm is being done. It means we understand that silence always sides with power. Over the past year, our center grows by more than 50%. We launch an LGBTQIA+ health summit. We open an inclusive healing clinic. We expand safe space trainings. We create marriage services. We show up across the city, not because it's easy, but because love requires motion. Resilience becomes justice lived. So let us be people who allow truth to surface, who let grief breathe, who refuse to harden in the face of cruelty. Let us create a Savannah where resilience is no longer required just to survive, but it becomes the foundation for thriving, where bodies are honored, where healthcare is compassionate, where difference is sacred. Peace is not passive. Resilience is not solitary. They are practices, and they live or fail in our bodies. May we embody them fully. Thank you.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.